Κυρίες και κύριοι, καλημέρα σας. Καλωσορίζετε στο συμπόσιο στο LSC. My name is Kevin Featherstone and I'm now going to speak to you about the symposium in general. Let me say one or two things. I'm going to explain some organizational matters and then I want to say some more serious things. What is the symposium? The symposium has certain aims and purpose. What we want to do, the rationale, the logic of the symposium, is that we seek to encourage a new generation of young researchers working on Greece and Cyprus in the social sciences. We've had these symposia now for a number of years. This is the fifth one, every 2 years. In some years, of course, we've had a rather larger participation, sometimes of 110 students. I think this time there will be about 70 of you, roughly. But the purpose is to encourage a new generation of young researchers. A number of you are working in British universities, perhaps a little isolated as Greek students focusing on Greece. In any event, writing a PhD is an isolating exercise. So the purpose is to encourage you. The purpose is to provide you with the experience of presenting to an international conference. You can develop the skills of presenting your work, develop the contacts with your network of peers, other people in your field. You can also have the benefit of listening to a number of keynote plenary lectures. You've seen this afternoon on your program, Professor Polymarchakis is going to talk about the issue of debts. I assume, well, let's not say anything more about debt at the moment, shall we? And then tomorrow morning, Professor Heraclides, who's with us today, will give the plenary lecture in the morning on Greco-Turkish relations. And yes, the idea is that with you here together, you establish contacts, you develop a network of interaction. Now, what is going to happen in the organizational sense? This is the organizational bit. Later this morning, we will start a number of specialist panels. You're each giving a paper allocated to one of these panels. At any particular time, there will be several panels taking place. If you're not making the presentation, you can then shop around, as it were, to which particular panel you would wish to go to, as with any large international conference. We then all come together in this theatre for the plenary lectures. And you'll have seen the information pack which you've been given when you registered, which should give you all of the information you need about the program, where your panels are, a map of the place, etc. So, some organizational matters. You will need to wear your name badge, not because we assume you have difficulty in remembering your name, but for reasons of LSE security, to come into this building. The gentlemen wearing black shirts and black uniforms will stop you if you don't have a badge like this. So please wear your name badges. The panels each time have very good discussions. Sometimes people speak for too long. Heck, we're academics. We're used to that kind of thing. Time is sometimes an issue. Can you please ensure in your individual panels that you keep to the time so that you then can come here for the keynote plenary lectures. It's a little distracting if one of our guests is making a lecture and people are coming in halfway through. So, as I say, for the panel meetings, please keep to time. See the allocated time, see the number of people who are making presentations in that panel, agree with the chairperson of the panel how much time you will have to make the presentation, and please keep to the time. We know your PhD and your research is important to you. We want to hear it, but sometimes we can have an excess of time hearing about one particular presentation. So in fairness, please try to keep to time for everybody. In amongst the panels, you will be able to have coffee, and coffee will be, as I've indicated here, in this particular room in Tower 1. Let me explain. You will see from the map in your program that the plenary lectures are taking place here. All of your panel sessions, looking at Eleni, all of your panel sessions, yes, all of your panel, all the panel sessions take place in another building. And this other building is called Tower 1. Tower 1 is a kind of 5-minute walk from here, but you'll have to look at your map to find that. And then on the same floor as you have your panel meetings, or at least on Tower floor 1, there is the coffee room for you to have the breaks there. For your lunch, you've been given advice information in your information pack, and you'll see from the pack that there are many places locally where you can get different kinds of lunches. You can go to the student cafeteria, there's sandwich places, there's lots of places roundabout. And if you have any queries, then please ask them at the registration desk here this morning, or you'll become familiar with the people you were talking to at the registration desk, see them around and ask them the questions that you have. Your reward for coming to the symposium is that this evening we will have a wine reception. It is to be poured out of bottles of LSE wine. Yes, the wine bottles say LSE on the side. This is a way of disguising the quality of the wine. But in this building is called the New Academic Building, and the reception takes place at the very, very top of this building on the 8th floor. It is on the terrace. We've organized good weather for you today, and you will have stunning views of the City of London, literally meaning the financial centre of London. So any of you who wish to throw anything in that direction, or if you wish to fire anything, we have created the facility for you showing your displeasure with the City of London. What can you expect from the symposium? I think as you progress through the symposium with your panels and listening to other people and talking to other people, you should be asking yourself certain questions as to what you're getting out of the symposium. The key skill is to be able to communicate your ideas, communicate your arguments effectively. What does that mean? It means that if you have literally only 10 minutes, or 15, or 20 minutes, whatever you agree with your chairperson, you have to try to communicate to your fellow participants in 10 minutes, in 15 minutes, what it is about your PhD that you wish to get across. What is the idea? What is the argument you're giving? We don't necessarily need to know all of the empirical details of your case. We do need to know your argument and any reference to theory you may have. We know, as PhD students that you already are experts in a number of details, in a number of empirical aspects. You know your subject, that's why you're here. But the task is to be able to give us clarity by telling us what the argument is, what the question is, etc. And do please engage in the discussion, because the panel sessions are there for you to interact. Please don't be British and polite and say nothing. Please, I know it is against the stereotype of you Greeks, but please try to be friendly with each other. And let's not go there. That's a joke which is going back. Basically, the point is that in the panel discussions, the value of those panel discussions rests on your willingness to engage, discuss, ask each other questions. It is from there that you will get the mutual support. And you can, as the symposium progresses, ask yourself, what new contacts am I making? New links that I'm making with fellow researchers, university staff, fellow PhD students, or whatever. It's an opportunity for you to break out of some isolation and make new contacts with people working in your field. And yes, afterwards you can go to the LSE web pages and look for the Hellenic Observatory, and you can also find information therefore about ourselves on the LSE website, the Hellenic Observatory website. You can also see a facility called Listserv where you can register yourself and then communicate with other PhD students in your field. So the idea is that the value of the symposium gives you certain skills, certain experiences, but there is also the legacy of signing up for the listserv, putting your name on the list, and then being in regular communication with others in your field. Now, all of this would not have been possible without a number of people and a number of organisations. So on your behalf, can I say a very warm thank you to Ethniko Ithromaniotites, the National Youth Foundation. We're very pleased that Mr. Lentzas and Mr. Manouris are here as our guests. They have made it possible, in terms of the funding, to have this year's symposium. So I think we need to give them a And let me also thank a number of academic colleagues. The symposium would not be possible if you think of all the numbers of panels that we're having. Each panel is going to be chaired by one, possibly two, established academics with experience in your field to give you feedback on your work. And they're giving the time freely, pro bono. This is a time of examinations and etc. So we're very grateful that they're willing to give us this time. Also within the observatory, we're very, very grateful for, you've seen colleagues outside. My colleague Eleni, who is here, I think you've made contacts with as the academic convener for this symposium. Ismini Damadas, Joanna, Ivan, Fortini, etc. They have organized the thing, as usual, extremely well. Let me take 30 minutes before your coffee break to say something by way of developing your PhDs. What I want to do is to simply set some ideas or set some thoughts, set some questions in your mind about designing your PhD, developing your PhD. Things which you may already be familiar with, things which you're possibly less familiar with. So I simply want to put some questions in your mind so that you can think about how you progress with your PhD. We all know that writing a PhD is a rather isolating experience. The symposium is here to try to challenge in a constructive way your arguments, your ideas, and to try to improve, therefore, the research design of the PhD. So let me give some initial points and questions to stimulate, hopefully, your thoughts. Gosh, I didn't register. One of the core concerns of each panel should be to clarify what is your research question? What is it you're seeking to answer? It might be a why question. It might be how. It might be what. But what are you trying to explain? We know you could give us tremendous detail on the empirical context. What we want to emphasize, though, is what your central research question is. Thank you. Your question is likely to be something about the past, possibly something about the present. It's not really about the future. We can assess what we know. We can't easily assess the future. Can you tell your colleagues in the panel what your central research question is in just one sentence? It's a good discipline to be able to put so briefly your research question. If you have then to say, well, yes, but it's also this and it's also that, it's also that, perhaps your ideas are not as clear and not as precise as they need to be. Tell us also why your PhD is relevant. It may be a specific case study, but tell us the bigger issues, the bigger picture that it connects with, and what your contribution is to the bigger questions. You're looking at one case so that we learn something about a bigger set of issues. In some disciplines, some subject areas, you may well be pursuing your questions then to develop hypotheses to try to clarify causal effects, that you have an independent variable which you're using to explain some shift, some change in a dependent variable. Independent and a dependent variable with a hypothesis, hypotheses. Again, the advantage of the hypothesis is that it forces you to say very precisely what the causal logic of your explanation is. That if these conditions recurred, we could have expected this to happen, and these were the essential causal factors. PhDs cannot be theory-free. Your PhD must be placed in some kind of theoretical conceptual frame, not only to help us understand the causal logic of your explanation, but also to help us to connect your PhD to a wider body of literature, so that we can connect your case study to case studies elsewhere. And think with your PhD about your contribution, but also, therefore, who your academic opponents would be. If you're saying something in a panel discussion, or you're later saying something with your PhD, if no one would disagree, what's the point? You need to be able to indicate that you're taking a position in an academic debate. You're contributing to this academic position in the debate, a certain school of thought, for example, and there will be some people, some academics, who would disagree with you. Well, tell us who they are and why they would disagree. And if you are developing a hypothesis, indicate with your PhD what evidence would be required to show that your hypothesis is wrong. It's the falsification thing. So if you're putting something forward which no one could disagree with, not very valuable. If you're putting something forward which is difficult to show if it's wrong or not, again, the value is decreased. You need to be able to say something potentially controversial, to say something which adds to a certain debate, and that you're arguing in favour of something as opposed to opposing something else. Now, when we focus on particular cases, Greece, Cyprus, wherever, it may be that you can think of the significance, the value of your PhD in different ways. That is, you could ask yourself, what we often say to PhD students here is to ask yourself at the very beginning, what's the puzzle? What is the puzzle that your PhD is trying to explain? In other words, you might be taking a particular case and saying that this is some, there was some element of surprise in my case study. We would not have expected this particular outcome. We would not have expected the outcome, either because it breaks with the previous status quo, or it's a contrast to other cases, other international cases, or it goes against an established theory. And because it causes some empirical surprise, it requires a study about the causality. Why did the surprise occur? Why was the outcome occurring? How can we explain the conditions which led to it, which then help us to challenge some established theory or contrast or contrast the case with other comparative international cases? Or it may be that in your particular discipline, you're looking at a PhD which is rather more philosophical or conceptual, looking at the understanding of particular norms, values, and concepts, and how they apply in a particular setting, that is, of behavior, of an established order, of attitudes, of the basis of legitimation. So when you ask yourself about the PhD, ask yourself the question, what is the value of my PhD? Point one may be that I'm explaining something which is a bit of a puzzle, it's a surprise. Or you may be looking at something of a more normative fashion to explain why certain beliefs, certain habits, certain patterns exist, why there is legitimation on that basis. If you are doing comparisons, you might think, therefore, with your PhD, that your PhD is studying Greece and another country. And you can establish a puzzle on this basis. If we think back of J.S. Mill's logics here. In other words, you might have two cases, two national cases, two sectoral cases, two institutional cases, whatever. You might have two cases, and your PhD might seek to compare them. These two cases, under logic one, may be previously very similar. Indeed, two cases could be regarded in every other respect, in every other aspect, most similar. But in your particular case, you found that these two very similar cases have an outcome, have a particular result, which is divergent. So two very similar cases diverge in your particular PhD, and the puzzle is to explain why they've suddenly diverged when previous patterns would have expected them to continue their similarity. Or you may have a comparison between two very different national cases, two very different cases, and find that in actual fact, in your particular study, these two different cases have converged, and that's a puzzle, it's a surprise. So if you have a comparative PhD, then you could think of these two logics, of two most similar cases, of the two most different cases, where you have the elements of surprise. And the comparison helps you to understand what conditions led to the cases converging, or what conditions led to the cases diverging. It helps in the development of your theory. It may be that your PhD is a single case study. Of course, it may be a case study comparing different cases within Greece, in which case you revert back to the comparison aspect. But in many of the social sciences in the last years, the fashion has been, as it were, against single case studies. And here we are to argue for the value of a single case study, a single national case study. The value of a single case study is strengthened if you place your case study in the context of some established international literature, a literature which is conceptual and theoretical. So your case is a case of a wider theoretical frame. We can then access your particular case and understand how it might compare to others. Your case may be one which is a deviant or a surprising case, and it helps them to develop or to refine theory. Some established international theory doesn't work in your case, therefore we need to revise the theory. So the case study can help in that particular aspect. You might think in this fashion of choosing Greece for your PhD and thinking of it as a case where we would not have expected a particular outcome, but it has occurred. It is a least likely case. Alternatively, the theory suggests that the outcome is very likely, but it hasn't happened. So there are different logics here with different explanations. And of course, when you look at the PhD, you may be questioned about the empirical information that you have, the empirical sources that you have. As we put it, the validity, the reliability, the replicability of your data. That is, how much trust can we have in your empirical evidence? And if someone was to repeat your case study, what are the chances that they would replicate, they would find a similar explanation? In other words, someone else could look at your evidence and assess that yes, this is a valid interpretation of the evidence, and they would be left with the same logic to the same kind of conclusion. Where possible, the gold standard is to argue that you should try to have multiple sources for your arguments, so that you're not resting on a small number of interviews, or you're not resting on one single source, but to try to have multiple sources, different kinds of evidence, which all points in the same direction. On occasions, students say, well, I've got interviews for my PhD. Well, yes, but you have to think about the value of the information you're getting from the interviews, how useful that is, and do you have other information which would confirm the reliability of that interview information? In other words, in interviews, you might consider whether the answers they're giving you are the answers which they think they should give to please you, to satisfy you, so that you go away, leave them in peace. Think of the reliability of what you're being told in the interviews, and think of other sources which you might be able to establish, which would point in the same direction. They would say that. Well, just think of whether the interviewees could be relied upon in this fashion. And we then come back to the symposium, that in the development of your PhD, the experience of developing your arguments and communicating your arguments to others by testing it, by presenting a paper, as with the symposium, is an important ongoing way of making progress with the PhD. So, that's where we are. Whilst you are at the LSE, you might wish to look at the Waterstones bookshop, the LSE bookshop. There is now more of a literature about how to write a PhD. And so everything I've been saying here about case studies, about different logics, about comparison, about puzzles, etc., all of that you can find in literature like this. And being a loyal LSE person, I've cited two colleagues here from the LSE and their own books, and I hope they will give me 10% of any sales. But the first one is by Patrick Dunleavy in the Department of Government, How to Write a PhD. The other one is by my colleague in the European Institute, Bob Hanke, Intelligent Research Design. I will place the PowerPoint that you've seen here this morning on the website of the Hellenic Observatory. So next week you would be able to download it. But just to repeat, books like this would say similar things about the PhD. Now, I appreciate a number of you are very advanced with your PhDs. Some of you are still at the early stage of the PhD. So I appreciate we're talking to a diverse audience. I also appreciate that you come from different social science disciplines. For some of you, the language of independence, intervening and dependent variables will be as if I'm speaking Hungarian. For some of you, the idea of looking at normative concepts, etc., is much more familiar to you. What I've tried to do is simply summarize the kind of questions we normally ask our PhD students, not only just at the beginning, but on an ongoing basis, to challenge you from 1 year to the next year about what your argument is, the logic of the argument, the value of the argument. Who would disagree with what you're saying? And the contribution that you're making to the literature, etc. So, by way of introduction, that's it. But let me remind you that tonight, having survived the day, you are to be rewarded with LSE wine, which my colleagues and I were pressing the grapes just last night in order to develop the wine. And please enjoy it. So just to repeat, that the wine reception is at 6 o'clock tonight. Sorry, can I just repeat just before finishing? The wine reception is at 6 o'clock tonight. It's all the way through till 7 o'clock. And it's on the top floor of this building.
take an early coffee break, and or if you have any questions, or if there are any questions, please say now. Everything clear? Organisational matters clear? Enjoy the rest of the day. Take a coffee. Eleni, where is your coffee now?
Tower.
Okay.
110.
So if you now can go to
U110.
To room U110. This is in Tower 1. Look at your map, go to Tower 1 on the first floor.